Well, can I ask you to turn again, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 5, the portion which we were reading together. And I want to draw your attention particularly to the verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. The verse 15, you'll have understood from the reading that this whole passage deals with Moses reiterating the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel and going over again what the Lord had previously given to them at Sinai. But then it comes to verse 15, and this instruction is given. "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." It is often said that if we forget the past, we are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. And therefore, it is urged upon us to remember. In our service already, we have had a brief season dedicated to remembering, and we allowed our minds to settle upon the sacrifice made for us over many years that have gone by. It is important to remember. And while we rightly remember the sacrifice made for us during times of war, we turn our attention now to the Word of God, where we are again urged to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the verse 15 begins, "And remember." There are things here that you and I are to remember. Now, the speaker here is Moses, the man appointed by God to lead the nation of Israel. And more particularly, the speaker is the Lord, for he is declaring the word of the Lord. And he is standing speaking to that nation, the nation of Israel, declaring to them the importance of remembering. There are certain things here that they are not to forget. And so I want to briefly look with you, therefore, at the things which we are to remember, and to consider something as we conclude ultimately of the effect of remembering these things, the things that are to be remembered. Now, first of all, you and I are to remember your past condition. Remember your past condition. As Moses spoke to the people of Israel that day, he was speaking to free men who were walking, directed by the Lord himself, following the Shekinah glory cloud. They were a people now in communion with the Lord. They had the Lord's presence with them. They had the Lord's promises given to them of a land for themselves. They were a people in a tremendous, lofty position. The very people of God, walking with their God. But that had not always been the case. Here the people are urged to remember the past and how things used to be. Moses declares in verse 5, or rather verse 15, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." Verse 15, "Thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." Now, when this was spoken to the people, it was not long before that they had been slaves in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 tells us that after the death of Joseph, a new Pharaoh arose. He set taskmasters over the people, over the Israelites, to afflict them, and they were put in bondage. They served the Egyptians. They were used in building many of the monuments and so on in Egypt, and they were servants. They were slaves in that land. They had no status. Now they are free, but they must never forget that before the Lord stepped in, they were in bondage. Now they have status as citizens of Israel, as citizens of the people of God, but they must never forget that before the Lord stepped in, they were seen as worthless, dispensable slaves. No status, no standing in the community, dispensable, worthless, slaves. You know, today the Lord gives this same instruction to you and to me. we must always remember from where the Lord has brought us. And I'm talking to the child of God here, the Christian. Christian, you were not a slave in Egypt. At least I don't imagine you were. But you were a slave in sin. Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 35, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin." You were in slavery. You were in bondage. You had no prospect. Yet the Son, Christ Himself, has made you free, and you are free indeed, child of God. Ephesians chapter 2 gives some tremendous insights and contrasts, emphasizing where we once were and therefore what the Lord has done for us. I would recommend that you turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and you'll see some of these things. But if you find in Ephesians chapter 2, you could look, for example, at verse 5 to pick one. You know, you that are saved, you who know Christ, as according to verse 5, you have been quickened or given life, quickened together with Christ in verse 5. Christ has given you everlasting life, and you shall never perish. But remember, as verse 5 would also tell you in Ephesians chapter 2, there was a time when you were dead in sin. Now you live. But there was a time when you were dead in trespasses and sins. You could look at verse 13. You know, today finds you who are saved, made nigh unto God. You are brought near. You're in fellowship and communion with God through the blood of Christ. But remember, as verse 13 also shows, there was a time when you were far off, at a great distance from the Lord. Look at verse 19. You are a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God, you who are saved. That means that you are entitled to all of the privileges that go along with being a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. You are a fellow citizen with the saints. But remember, there was a time when you were a stranger, a foreigner to the things of God. As verse 12 would put it, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember your past condition. Friends, as we remember these things, does it not remind us that there's no room for pride? There's no room for pride in the child of God. You know, being declared a child of the Most High, and to them that call upon Christ and believe in His name, He gives power to be called the sons of God, the children of God. Being declared a child of the Most High through salvation, you might be tempted to be lifted up in pride. It is a lofty position. What a glorious position you have been brought into, a child of the King of Kings. But you've got no reason to get on your high horse as you remember where you came from. You see, these things serve to remind you and me that your salvation, my salvation, is all of grace. And your best works have nothing to do with it. There you were dead in sin. There you were a stranger to God, knowing nothing of the Lord. There you were at a distance. And in grace God came. In grace He dealt mercifully with your soul. This reminds you that salvation, your salvation, is all of grace. As Psalm 40 would remind you, He, the Lord, brought you up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. When you were trapped, when you were there, bogged down in your sin, without hope in this world, He lifted you. Child of God, He set your feet upon a rock and established your goings. Remembering where we came from, pride is destroyed. And instead, there ought to be that great appreciation for the goodness of our God. Remember where you came from, child of God, and rejoice in what the Lord has done for your soul. And can I add, before we conclude this point, that if you're here today and you are not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not resting in his finished work of Calvary, well, you don't need to do too much remembering to think about this condition, this dreadful condition. You don't need to do much remembering. I'll tell you why. You're in it today. If you're not in Christ, you are still in this dreadful condition. You are still in the miry pit of sin. You are still dead in trespasses and sins. You still walk in obedience to the wicked one. You are by nature a child of wrath. You are cut off from Christ and from his church. You are a stranger to all of the promises of God. You are far off. You are without God. You are without salvation. You are without hope. And you don't need to remember these things from past days. This is your condition today. This is today for you who are without Christ. Now, with this awful condition in mind, would you not be encouraged to flee to Jesus Christ as he stands and calls you? We've just thought of the contrast, and the child of God can look back and see where he once was, the condition that you're in now, and he can see what a wonderful change in his life has been wrought since Jesus came into his heart. He can see what a difference it's made. He knows the tremendous standing that he now has. And I tell you, the Lord can do it for you. The Lord can take you today who are a stranger to grace and to God, and he can bring you into his fold, and he can give you this lofty standing. He can give you life while you're dead in sin. He can quicken you and make you whole. Why should you therefore remain in this awful condition without grace when Christ would take you to himself and would work this miracle within you? When Christ would make you free indeed. The child of God can rejoice that he is no longer a slave in the land of Egypt spiritually, a slave to Satan, a slave to wickedness and to sin. He has been freed. Without Christ today finds you still that slave, still in bondage, still ensnared by your sin. But Christ can make you free. Therefore, do not neglect him, friend. Do not neglect him. As Christ is set before you in the gospel, the man of Calvary, the one who went to the cross, who took the penalty, who died there in the place of sinners so that sinners might be freed, as he is set before you, there is opportunity for that great change to be wrought in you. You came in to this place in an awful condition. But the question is, how will you go out? You can go out changed. You can go out different. You can go out with the Lord and with his blessing. Don't neglect Christ. The child of God is encouraged to remember their past condition. But we're also encouraged, in the second place, to remember the Lord's great deliverance. Remember the Lord's great deliverance. Not only were the Israelites in that day called by Moses to remember what they had once been, slaves in Egypt, but they were also called to remember what the Lord had done so as to change their circumstances. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, Moses declared, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm." The people were to remember the great deliverance of the Lord, his mighty arm made bare in rescuing them from that place. As they looked back, they dare not suggest that they had escaped Egypt's grip through any work of their own. No Israelite could suggest that. They hadn't. They had not trained themselves to fight. They had not fashioned swords and put them into their soldiers' hands. They had not conquered the Egyptians with the strength of their arm. They had done nothing. They had done nothing. The Lord had done the work entirely. Those Israelites were to cast their mind back and to consider the great judgments that the Lord had poured out upon Egypt. Their mind would soon go to those 10 judgments, and the last of them particularly, when the angel of death walked through the land, taking the life of the firstborn child in every family. That night, they would remember, they were spared, having been instructed to put the blood of a lamb upon the doorposts of the house. When the angel of death saw the blood, it would pass over the house and spare the family. They would remember these things, the Lord's mighty doings. They would remember the grief felt by every Egyptian family, and they would remember the resolve of Pharaoh finally crack as he for a season submitted to the Lord and allowed the Israelites to go forth. Then their mind would go back to that day standing at the edge of the Red Sea. The mountains on both sides. The sea was before them, an impassable sea. And then closing in from behind is the mighty Egyptian army. Pharaoh having changed his mind and sent the army after them, coming to kill and slaughter. And there they were going to remember that day when they were standing there on the edge of the sea without hope, without any prospects, trapped on every side. The Egyptian army closing in, death about to take them, and the Lord made bare his arm and opened a way through the sea. They would remember that Red Sea parting in two. They would remember passing through on dry land. They would then remember looking back over their shoulder, the last man having crossed through the water, and seeing those walls of water crashing down upon that pursuing Egyptian army behind them. The Lord their God had brought them out through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. They were to remember these things. Remember, remember, they are told. Remember that the Lord brought thee out. Remember. Friends, we who are saved are continually called to remember. And we are called to remember a much greater work of God. Those Israelites remembered their physical redemption from Egypt as God poured out great judgments and parted a vast sea. But we remember a greater work. You see, child of God, we remember our redemption from sin and from judgment as God performed an even greater miracle. In fact, the Lord performed the miracle of miracles so as to work out your redemption. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became man. He stepped into human history. He took to himself a true humanity. He was born in a poor setting. He grew up submitting himself to earthly parents whom he had created. He lived amongst all the pains and the miseries that you and I experience. He did battle with Satan and overcame. He went about doing good. He showed compassion to the multitude, healed all manner of sickness, and declared to men the truth of God's word. But the climax of his mission, the climax of this miraculous work, the climax of God's mighty arm made bare in salvation, was when Christ would go to Calvary. This was his full purpose. This was his intent, to lay down his life so that sinful wretches like you and like me can be transformed and saved. From the very beginning when Christ came into this world, he set his face as a flint. Ultimately, he traveled to Jerusalem, knowing full well the trial ahead. He felt great distress in Gethsemane as he thought upon the coming terror, but he did not swerve from the course. He showed no resistance when wicked men came to arrest him. He would not defend himself at trial when faced with false and contradictory accusations. He held his peace as cruel soldiers mocked him in purple robes and blasphemed his name. He walked as a lamb to the slaughter of Calvary. And there upon the cross, while he could have called the angels to his aid, he endured the mocking of the people. He endured the desertion of his followers. He endured the agony within his physical body. But there was worse to endure. For there upon that cross, raised up between heaven and earth, as darkness enveloped the land, Christ, the Son of God himself, was subjected to the full weight of God's righteous fury against your sin and mine. Now, as you behold that scene, as you behold that mighty work of Christ, going to Calvary, taking the cup of wrath, drinking it dry, satisfying justice, as you think of that mighty work, as you behold that scene, remember. Remember that you were a slave in sin, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. The miracle he wrought for you, child of God, in the sending forth of the only begotten Son, is infinitely greater than the 10 plagues upon Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. Remember God's mighty hand. Remember his stretched out arm. Remember Calvary. Remember the deliverance of the Lord. Now, Christian, as you think of your salvation, therefore, as you remember these things, your salvation does not rest upon you at all. If you're in Christ today, saved by his grace, you are not saved because of anything that you have done. You're not saved because of any great moral character within you. Ultimately, you are not saved because you prayed a prayer. You are saved solely on this basis, that Christ lived and that Christ died for me. That's it. Christ lived and Christ died for me. That is the basis of my salvation, nothing else. It's all him. It's his mighty hand that was at work. It's his arm that was made bare. Today, as we remember the sacrifice of many men who died in combat for our freedom, and that is good and proper, appropriate, but as we remember those who gave their lives in that way, let us remember the man who is before us now. Let us remember the God-man, Jesus Christ himself, the one who made a greater sacrifice. A greater sacrifice. You know, many soldiers, they laid down their lives, and what a sacrifice that was, and we take nothing away from that. But I tell you, not one of them took the wrath of God in my place. Not one of them took the wrath of God in your place. But Christ did. Not one of them felt the pain of hell for you. But Christ did, child of God. He made the greatest sacrifice. Let us remember him today. Because of that sacrifice alone and nothing else, you have life. You have life. What a blessing that is, child of God. What a tremendous thing to know that my salvation, that your salvation, does not depend on us. It depends upon the Lord. He has authored it. He will finish it. The work is His. It doesn't mean that we are slack and we go and live as we please and live in all manner of sin. But nevertheless, the work doesn't depend on you and it doesn't depend on me. You don't have to worry about whether tomorrow you'll be strong enough to keep the Christian faith. Christ will do the work. Christ has done the work. What confidence it gives to the child of God. Can I add to you who are yet without Christ, that as you cast your mind upon this scene of Calvary, and you behold the mighty work of God in securing salvation, as you look to that hill where that cross stood, and you see this valiant Savior giving His precious life for a sinner like you, tell me, is your heart so hard that you can see such a sight and pass on by? Is your heart so hard that you can consider this glorious Savior and yet leave neglecting Him? Can you ignore such a Savior? Can you walk by without a second thought? Today, you do honor to the men who sacrificed their lives in war. Do you dare dishonor the Christ who made a greater sacrifice? What an awful thing it would be today to stand and dishonor the sacrifice of many who gave their lives in battle for our freedom. What an awful thing to do that. You wouldn't dream of doing it. And yet I tell you this, if you go from this place neglecting Christ, if you go from this place having seen what He did, the great sacrifice that He made, and passing by without thought, you dishonor Him. You dishonor Him. You sin against Him. What a crime it is. Do not neglect Christ today. As the Word of God calls our attention to remember the deliverance that the Lord has wrought, would you not rather flee to Christ? Would you not rather avail of the sacrifice which He made? Come and rejoice in His salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. The people of Israel were called upon to remember their past condition. And they were called to remember the Lord's mighty deliverance. And we are to do the same. Now let me conclude all this very quickly by emphasizing to you something of the outcome of all this. We've already seen some outcomes of remembering these things. It kills pride. It increases love for Christ. It reminds us that our salvation does not rest on ourselves, and therefore you cannot lose it, child of God. But there's something else important here. You'll have noticed from our reading and from my comments that this call to remember is given in the midst of the Ten Commandments, this declaration of the law of God. Before us in Deuteronomy from verse 6 through to 21, we see these commandments set out. And then coming to the fourth commandment concerning the keeping of the Sabbath day, the people are told to do this on the basis of what they remember. Verse 15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, on the basis of this, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Now, primarily there you have a link made between God's redemption and the Sabbath day, and the Sabbath is used as a memorial of God's redemption. We worship on the first day of the week to remember the first day of the week when Christ arose from the dead, marking that redemption was accomplished. But beyond that, can we not just simply say here that remembering these things set out, remembering where you once were, child of God, remembering the mighty deliverance that the Lord has wrought for you, is it not the case that you have all the motivation you need to obey the commandments of God? In the middle of the commandments being given here, the people are told to remember these things. And their remembering of these things would motivate them to obey the law of God. You and I are to obey God's law. But we do not do so in order to merit eternal life. We will never merit eternal life by that means. We can't do it. We can't live as we need to. However, as you remember where you once were, child of God, as you remember, meditate upon the great deliverance, the great salvation which God has bestowed upon you, as you remember the work which Christ performed on your behalf, you have all the motivation you need to keep God's law. Child of God, is it the case that you are struggling with sin today? Is it the case that you need to overcome the temptations of the wicked one? How are you to do it? It's not sufficient to simply try harder. That will not get you anywhere. I tell you, it is as you remember, it is as you behold the wondrous work of God, of Christ, in your salvation. It is as you fix your eyes upon Christ's cross that you will be equipped with strength, with zeal, to live for the Lord. We do not and cannot keep the law of God to earn God's blessing. But when you remember what God has done for your soul, when you realize that you have God's blessing through Christ, this motivates you and I to keep the law of God, to live for Christ. It is as we remember these things, as we fix our eyes upon Calvary, that the Lord will mold you, that the Lord will shape you, that the Lord will conform you to the image of Christ. It is as you remember these things, it is as you fix your eye upon these things, that you will find strength to serve the Lord. Today, we thank the Lord for the memory of many who served their country faithfully and secured our peace and freedom. Let us also thank the Lord today for the Christ who sacrificed himself so that we who were once strangers to grace, who were once in bondage to our sins, can today be called the children of God. And let us today, with that spirit of thankfulness, serve the Lord faithfully and live victoriously for Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts today and do us good by it.